You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me this evening is Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg, and also David Shapiro, who's the deputy chairman of Sasfin Securities in the salubrious surroundings of, where are you, David? Melrose Arch.
Melrose Arch. Pretty wet here. It's killing our year-end kind of lunches and everything.
What, is it raining in Johannesburg?
Yeah, it's pouring. Terrible. It's been pouring for 2 days now. I think that's why we've got load shedding. I think they said the coal's wet again or some stupid rubbish like that.
Is it raining on the JSE, starting with you, Nick Kunze?
Yeah, I guess you could say it was. I mean, we actually were looking okay this morning, and then couldn't even quite put a finger on it. I mean, it didn't feel as bad as it looks. I mean, it seems to be quite a bit of red on my screen. And as the day progressed, and I don't know if it's the weather, it's the year, and sort of lack of traders at their desks, as David said, trying to huddle somewhere in a pub trying to avoid the rain. But we did grind low all session, and to use the phrase, I hate to use it, but it was a soggy session, like the weather. One of those days.
Yeah, David, it seems to me that the holiday season, so-called, has been brought forward a little bit, because when I first came to South Africa in 1988, all those years ago, it used to be around about the 14th, 15th of December. You used to say to yourself, well, I'm going to go down to Mschlanga or somewhere like that and have a nice time. But it just seems that everyone this year is really fed up with South Africa, and they're taking time off a little bit earlier this year.
I think they're closing. Look, the schools, I think, closed today. Or yesterday, and I think from then on people start to close their business. But I always took it from what we used to call Dingaan's Day or Day of Freedom. I don't know what it's called today, which was the 16th, and that seemed to be the day that everybody started to go off and which would embrace New Year as well. So I think that those were the weeks, and the factories used to close on about the 14th, 15th. But you're dead right. It's now. I think everybody's just closing up shop now. Mm. There's nothing really driving us. No big stories. I think
those who've managed to make a living this year and make money for the long, platinum shares and a few others have sort of called it a day. And probably, as you said, they're probably sitting in Nasdaq as we speak.
Well done.
There's
to
one
them.
Thing on those, Nick. You know, I just every day we see massive
volume. You see Impala platinum today.
I know, just massive volume.
A huge volume in the auction. Actually had a separate closing price. I don't know what's going on there.
You know, Lindsay, Impala has a market value of about $100 billion, and bearing in mind that it's doubled. Means at the beginning of the year,
it hasn't doubled. It's gone from 16.
Yes,
it's gone up 10 times. Eight times.
So you can understand the value that we were trading at the beginning of the year. But today, you know, for it to come in now as the number two trader, I'm not sure how many, you know, I just looked at the percentage. So every day we've seen massive, massive numbers going through. Today it's 1.1 billion. Which is, you know, a lot of shares trading on a day like this.
Do you know what?
Every day.
It's every day. It's relentless. I mean, I wonder if that's partly why Rand is so strong. I don't know. But there's a deal happening or something. But Lindsay, you know, alluding to it yesterday. But I went to a presentation 2 weeks ago with the BCA guys, the bank credit analysts, which I think they're a pretty good bunch of research guys. But their whole presentation was the dollar and what they thought. And they were calling a very big, sort of very weak dollar next year, which maybe I sort of concur with. But the main gist of it was like they like really love platinum. They're like their big call for next year is platinum. And you guys, flew in from New York. You're saying, give a whole pitch about how we should be. Platinum needs to chase up to palladium. I kind of look at this guy with a sort of scratch my head and go, but some of these shares are up 4-5-fold. You know, do you really want to be loading up on platinum shares in January on a share that's gone literally up 450%? It's sort of like, come on, really? But I mean, all of a sudden, almost seems like these guys are late to the party and they just can't get enough of it.
See, and it's Sabania as well.
Yeah, but for me, I can't chase the share at 1-2. I mean, I thought this thing was fair value at 100, 110. It just keeps on going.
I can't comment.
And it's these momentum guys, you know, I don't know. But
not momentum, of course, the fund manager, the momentum in the real world.
As in like, the price world. Action,
I had a chat with Wayne McCurry last night, David Shapiro, who's your mate. And actually, before I go into this, at the end of the chat, I heard a little bit of water splashing in the background. And I said to him, I said, what is that noise? He says, well, I'm in the bath. I had a chat with Wayne McCurry.
Well, I don't want to picture that.
No, exactly. Okay. It's exactly what I said to him. I conducted an interview with Wayne McCurry while he was in the bath, and this was at 4:45 in the afternoon. I mean, how disgusting is that?
Well, it was his day off.
He's only working 3 days a week, apparently, now. That's what he said.
Yeah. Anyway, he came to TV. I was with him on TV after that, so he must have bathed up and put a suit on and come to him.
The point I made to him was more serious. I mean, apart from the disgusting spectacle of him being in a bath splashing around, is that South Africa should borrow $100 billion, and $100 billion, that is, so that we can actually relax a bit and use the collateral of all the assets that we have against that $100 billion loan. We should say, well, we've got some fine assets, natural assets, whether it be PGMs or gold or whatever it is, and we should say to these people, and we've got...
Are you talking about a forward sale? You mean a forward sale?
I'm saying go to the IMF and say, or to the World Bank or to some private institution and say, lend us $100 billion. We've got solar, we've got wind, we've got waves, we've got PGMs, we've got gold, and we will put those up as collateral, and you can take a 15-20% stake in all of those assets, lend us the money so we can start to relax a little bit and get on with the business of the South African economy. And I just think it's absolutely right. I mean, if you're going to borrow some money, you use your house or your shares in your business as collateral. South Africa should have a collateralized loan of $100 billion.
Where is that collateral? You sound like the EFF, but I mean,
no,
where
I
is
don't.
That collateral?
How dare you say that to me?
Lindsay, you're sounding extremely socialist.
No, I'm not sounding socialist at all. I'm saying that what happens is you get the $100 billion and you invest in solar and wind and everything, and you give the company, or rather the person that's lent you the money, or the organization that's lent you the money, 20% of the business, and go on from there. I mean, don't you see the point? We've got so much potential in this country.
The only problem, okay, and this is where, even if your logic's right, the problem is that who's going to build the platinum mines? Who's going to build all of those assets?
No, never
mind. And that's
platinum.
The problem here. It becomes political. And that's, even if it came in, it wouldn't be given to competent people. There'd be a political leaning against that.
There would be a political clause in there. In other words, no politics. It would be purely capital.
The Icelandics reinvented themselves after the whole debacle in 2000 when they sort of blew up, and they use like thermal energy. They got massive smelters in Iceland, and a lot of steel producers, etc. They literally can smelt the steel down for a tenth the cost, and that's how they advertise themselves. And it's been a huge revenue and of foreign currency. It's been a very clever idea. And on that same ilk, someone was saying, when they're talking about Eskom's woes a few months ago, there was a chap from Denmark, one of these places, who was saying, you guys don't understand what you've got that you can't export, and that's sunshine.
Exactly.
That you can't – Germany does 80% or whatever on alternative energy. They don't have sunshine. That's something you've got that you could utilize. But, I mean, I guess who's going to pay for it? But Mr. Williams' socialist views, I guess you'll just
it's
tax
not
them
socialist.
On the money.
Socialist. I don't know why you understand. It's actually more capitalist than socialist. I don't understand why you're so blinded, you two. I mean, I've come up with the solution for South Africa, and if only Cyril Ramaphosa, who follows me, incidentally, on Twitter, won't come back to me. I think this is a brilliant idea. We have got more natural resources than you can shake a stick at.
You're not wrong. Mm. You're not wrong. The problem is that in order to get to those resources and in order to incentivize capitalists to come in here, you need to bend your political rules. So this is the biggest problem. When we talk about structural reforms in the country, these are the issues that need to be addressed. In other words, to open the doors or to lay down a red carpet for people to come in and use and exploit those assets. But we're not doing it simply because we have so many rules administered against anybody who wants to come in and do that.
Yeah, so we're very far from business friendly as a country. Anyway, I mean, you can name a dozen places just on the continent, from Rwanda to Ghana, to have been reinventing themselves as business friendly. I mean, Nigeria, heaven forbid, you can open up a Nigerian bank account for your company within 5 working days in Nigeria. Here, on average, it takes 45 days to do the same thing. Just to put that, I mean, that's a very back of the envelope perspective. But that's how unfriendly we've made ourselves. I mean, you could go on about visas and birth certificates and all this. From every facet you look at, we're very unbusiness friendly.
Okay. And when you talk about Rwanda with its 7.8% GDP growth last year, or on average over the last 3 years, it's like comparing a corner shop with Checkers. I mean,
it's minute. It's landlocked and it's coming from a very low base. Understood. But there's certainly, for something that country that is quite small on the scale of things, they are punching above their weight, you got to say. I mean, I'm sure they're getting foreign currency and foreign revenues, and they are slightly reinventing themselves. If we can only sort of adapt some of that philosophy, it would be a step in the right direction.
Anything on the stock exchange news service announcements today, Nick Kunze, please?
Sure. It was so thin. Let me just have a look. It was very quiet.
I think Glencore.
Yes,
is the
Glencore
one.
The Justice Ministry or something. What was it?
The Glencore.
Was it UK?
Serious Fraud Office has opened an investigation into suspicions of bribery in the conduct of business in the Glencore Group. So that's a one liner.
Glencore will cooperate with the SFO investigation.
86%.
But this is bolting on. No, this is the palms running in now, because the Americans is the Department of the English are running
Thank
it
you.
Now, because the Department of Justice in the US, they sort of initiated the first one about a year ago. Mm. Look, I mean, I think anyone who follows Glencore wouldn't be overly surprised that their corporate governance is a little bit lacking.
and Glazenberg has announced that, he's looking for a successor.
Into the sunset. By the way, Nick, Glazenberg and David Shapiro are good friends. Let me tell you.
Oh, they
No, Ivan taught me to run fast. He was pretty good running.
Okay, go on.
There's a very good story about Mr. Glazenberg.
Hello?
No, he's on hold. But you used to run with Mr. Glazenberg.
With Ivan,
Are you there, guys?
Yeah, go on.
So when you reallocated to Zug, and part of becoming part of the sort of the Swiss establishment, you're supposed to give a little bit, like to belong to the club, you've got to give a little bit of a sweetener, like you do in Monaco and places like that. And in his little village, he decided that year to, after they listed, to pay everyone in the villages tax bill, which ran into hundreds of millions of euros. So from that moment on, I think he was the most famous person in the village.
I think he lives in Zug.
That's correct.
I thought it was a tax haven. I didn't think they paid tax.
There is tax, but it's I mean, it's like 6% or that's exactly. So you negotiate with your local canton how much you think you should be paying. And obviously, there was no secret after their listing. But anyway, sweet little story.
What a wonderful commodity money is. I mean, everyone thinks that they need money, but it really is the most corrupting commodity in the world. And speaking of money, the dollar rand is 14.67, was 14.53 at one stage this morning. So it's down around about 4.6%. And the rand that is against the dollar. British pound against the rand is 19.28. And the euro rand is 16.28, with the euro dollar 1.10. Let's call it 111 now, and because of Mr. Trump, the US dollar under an enormous amount of pressure. And talking about the United States, the Dow Jones is down 0.2%, the Nasdaq around about the same, and so is the S&P. And let's have a look at the commodities.
Which they were in the green when we started this conversation.
Something's happening. $14.77 is the gold price, up $2.50 an ounce. The platinum price is $8.93 and a bit, down $2. And Brent crude oil, $64.15. David Shapiro, we spoke about this yesterday. I think Mr. Trump unraveled unlike any other unraveling he's ever perpetrated before yesterday. Wasn't he unbelievable yesterday? And then he just phoned up the pilot and said, "Get Air Force One ready. I'm off. I don't like people taking the piss out of me."
Well, he's got more problems now with Nancy Pelosi. They've drafting impeachment articles against him.
I think he's in trouble. I really do.
I listen to her. She's convincing. The arguments were convincing, saying that he corrupted the process and it was a violation of public trust. And once again, trying to manipulate or corrupt the election, for his benefit. So she said they had spoken to constitutional experts and believe that they had a case, and they're going to put this, obviously, I don't know how long it's going to take and what the next step is, but naturally he's going to come out fighting, and I imagine the...
Where are you?
Senate and the U.S. can get back to business and make America great again.
End quote.
Yeah.
I lost you for the last 30 seconds, well, David. Just repeat what you just said, if you would, because of your lack of
broadband. That was Nick, yeah.
But anyway, something happened. But David, because I lost you, what do you think? The impeachment story is not going to happen, obviously, because the Republicans, the GOP, will vote against it because they're scared of losing their jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they'll put a case that it's nothing more than disagreements or misdemeanor, not worthy of impeachment. So I don't think it'll go further than that. And I think what I'm saying is that the markets are responding as though nothing's going to happen. What might happen, and this was a discussion point I picked up, is that he might feel the need to actually do a deal with China and do other things in order to deflect any mounting pressure that might come because of this, which would be good for markets. But, markets, as I said in the tweet, we've got principles, but if you don't like them, we've got others. That was a famous Groucho Marx saying. Anyway.
Very good.
Anyway.
Let's have a look at the markets today, and over to you, Nick Kunzer, if we can. I'm going to look at my big five up and down. And it's populated on the upside by Sappi, up nearly 7%. Goodness me, that's extraordinary. Mm. Implats up nearly 4%. Goldfields up 3.1%. Hammerson, a 3% winner. And Mediclinic up 2.8%. Nick,
let's throw in, on my side as well. Inter Properties is up 4%, which ties in with the Hammerson, which is tying in with the Brexit. Very strong pound today. Sterling against the dollar, I think levels not seen since early May, 5 days up in a row. I'm looking at the screen now, almost broke 132 at one point. So very much sort of a good news over there at the moment. Looks like the Tories have got a strong lead. Quite how that folds out, I don't know. But that's your answer to the two property, UK-faced property shares.
Lindsay, I just picked up on the screen now.
Yes.
Glencore actually down 8% in the UK at the moment. Wow. We were talking, it's starting to gather. That's, I think, big. As the news item starts to circulate, so the sellers are coming in. When we closed, we were down about 5%.
5.7% down.
It's starting to gather momentum.
I actually like the sort of story in the share, and they've got a lot of exposure to a lot of the sort of electric, the battery side of things, with Cobalt and the Congo in a few places. But I've been shot down a few times by our investment committee, just saying they're just not transparent enough. It's just too much sort of regulatory risk. And this stems on, David, from the Department of Justice, who typically, when they sink their teeth into something, they don't normally let it go. They're notorious for, once they've got the eye on you, they're not running away. And that was started a year ago. So there might be more to run in the story tonight.
Okay. You don't want them delving in. I think one of the things is that you have to open up all your books. And there's always a chance that they find something. So you don't want them, looking at your computer.
Sniffing around.
On the downside today, no one seems to know what's going on with Sappi, but let me have a look at the downside rather than the upside today. And if I can just do that quickly, it says here, hold on, Lindsay, press your button, idiot, that's me. Glencore, on the close, down 5.7%. Kumba Iron Ore down 4.75%. Barlow Weld down 3.75%. Hyprop down 2.2%. And Anglo American Platinum 2.2% weaker, going against Implats. What is the story, you two, between Implats and Anglo American Platinum? There's one up at new all-time recent record highs, and Anglo Plat going in the other direction. Nick, do you know these? Do you know these things?
Nope, I'm going to go along with that's basically summing up today's market. There is very little direction. Even the same sector can't get it right.
Mm-hmm. No, I think there's something in Impala that's driving the buyers up. You know,
which I think it's tying in with the strong rand as well. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a sniff of a play happening there, I think.
Mm. I know they're doing this deal with this platinum company in the U.S., but there seems to be a huge amount of demand for whatever reason, whether it's the MSCI, whether you're still straightening out their holdings.
But even on the general down days, and with a stubbornly strong rand for the last few days, abnormally strong rand, Impala hasn't budged. Just grinded higher. So there's definitely something going on there.
Okay. Give us the closing indices on this Thursday, the 5th of December, please, Nick Kunze.
Okay, so the closing indices, we closed on the lows of the session. We had a little bit of bounce up into the auction, but on the lows. We closed at 54,779 on the all share, down 0.44%. And the top 40 was down 219 points, or 0.45%. And looking at the indices, healthcare was one of the few that were in the green, and the rest, basic materials down 0.25%, financials down 0.43%, and industrials today was the worst, down 1.67%.
And the volume was what?
The volume daily traded today was just shy of 20, 19.796 billion daily traded on the JSE.
That's okay.
Not bad. Yeah, not bad a bad at all. Day.
There's a futures closeout coming up, right? The December closeout?
Correct.
When is that?
Next week. Next week, Thursday.
Yeah, people starting to get out of it. David Shapiro, you're probably a fan of Woody Allen, I would have thought.
Yes, I am. Very much.
Yeah, me too. And talking about crimes and misdemeanors, which is a phrase which
comes up.
Yeah,
the movie.
yeah, crimes and misdemeanors, which is a Woody Allen film, and he not only wrote and directed it, but he also starred in it. And crimes and misdemeanors is a phrase that's come up when it comes to the impeachment process. I don't know if you've noticed that, crimes and misdemeanors, because
and misdemeanors.
This is my quote of the day. I've got lots of quotes from Crimes and Misdemeanors, that Woody Allen film. The first one he says is, God is a luxury I can't afford. The second one, one sin leads to a deeper sin. Then he goes on and he says, I think I see a cab. If we run quickly, we can kick the crutch from that old lady and get it. Which is very good, which is almost a metaphor for the South African economy. I don't know from suicide, he said. Where I grew up in Brooklyn, nobody committed suicide. They were always too unhappy. sort of sums up South Africa at the moment. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time this evening. Nick Kunze is from Sandon Private Wealth, and David Shapiro is the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities, both based in Johannesburg. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.